This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You don't have that like bookmarked at the top of your top of your Chrome.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bruce Arians had this to say.
A number of people have already asked, why are you stepping away from a chance to go to the Hall of Fame? Because I don't give a shit about the Hall of Fame.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The guy is genuine. Maybe you should get in anyway.
Today's guests, University of Pittsburgh head football coach Pat Narduzzi, NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks, plus Permanente Brothers president Adam Gallone. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, it is. It is Rich Eisen. And I'll stop talking about myself in the third person because that would be really annoying for 3 hours.
I might dig it.
You're like, oh, it is me.
I'm not surprised about being here. I'm excited to be here. It's going to be a fun 3 hour show. It's going to be a fun 3 hour program, everybody. Here on NBC Sports on Peacock, here on NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio station. We say hello to everybody tuning in on the AM or FM dial, however you take in this show. Maybe you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, streaming coast to coast. Maybe you're listening to us whenever you're darn well pleased, because it's your right to download this show by podcast form. All 3 hours available through the Cumulus Podcast Network, and we're all... podcasts are acquired. We just finished up the best month we've ever had on YouTube, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We love every single one of our almost 400,000 subscribers to that page and stream. If you miss anything today, that's where you can go. You can go, and also be careful, you can go down a wormhole with all of our guests throughout the 7+ year history of this program. So we appreciate anybody who takes in the show that way. Good Friday to you, Christopher Brockman.
Same to you, Rich Eisen. How are you?
I am just fine and dandy. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is not here today again. Jay Felly, good to see you, sir.
What's up, Rich?
TJ Jefferson, light the candle on a big weekend, a Final Four weekend, a penultimate NBA regular season weekend, a WrestleMania weekend. Man. You're winging your way to the state of Texas after this show today.
I sure am. And you know what? I'm not going to say I love all of the 400,000 subscribers. Some of them talk bad about me, but the majority of them I do love, yes. Yes, just not all of them.
All right. Where'd that come from?
Rick said we love all of our 400,000 subscribers. And I'm like, some of them,
let's just separate the wheat from the chaff, then, shall we? Your grab bag today is your top five WrestleMania moments you're looking forward to the most. It was fun yesterday with Becky Lynch, except for the fact I did not choose my words wisely enough.
You've got to watch yourself with the band.
I do.
She's not here for games.
In about 18 minutes' time, our first guest will join us, Pat Narduzzi. Will join us. The head coach of the Pittsburgh Panthers join us. He will pick up the phone with his much bigger hand than his quarterback to call into this program.
Come on.
I can't wait because, you know, I'm just obviously having some fun because, you know, Narduzzi is he's an old school guy.
Yeah.
Okay. He's one of those hard nosed guys. He's the guy who's like Mark D'Antonio's, defensive coordinator for 8 years at Michigan State. He got his start at Miami of Ohio, the cradle of coaches. That's where Woody got his start. Mm-hmm. That's where Bo got his start. And this is just an old school football coach. And I cannot imagine. He must be like, we're talking about what? About Kenny Pickett? And it's only going to get crazier because it's the draft month. We have reached the draft month in the National Football League, and to celebrate that, Bucky Brooks, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, the better half of the Move the Sticks podcast, will be joining us in hour number two. He and Daniel Jeremiah have a terrific podcast talking about all of this sort of stuff, trafficking in all of this type of material. He has his latest mock draft 3.0 out, and not a single quarterback in the first round. I can't wait to chat with Bucky, who also gives me what I want in his mock draft, and that is Sauce Gardner going to the Jets fourth overall. As you know, I want to live on Planet Sauce. That's what I'm looking for. That's where I want to go there like Matt Damon in The Martian. I want to be just sent there. I want to grow my own food there, and I want to live there, and it'll be great.
Well, it was only potatoes.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, he only
did and I also know how he fertilized it. I don't think I'm into that.
And watered it,
Spoiler alert.
Hey. He gets off.
If you were.
Brock, man, I was going to watch
speaking
that
of food,
this week,
speaking of food, yesterday we were going to have this gentleman on, the president and chief marketing officer of Primanti Brothers.
Yeah.
It's all Pittsburgh. It starts with Narduzzi and ends with Primanti Brothers.
It's making me
number
homesick.
Three, because it was 1 week ago at this time we had Mason Rudolph in studio and we were talking about making your own sandwiches, you know, the Roethlisberger and one of Primanti Brothers, I guess, competitors.
Yeah, Pepe's.
And so he asked me if I would I, you know, have my own sandwich, would I eat my own sandwich if I had one? And I said, it depends because it's got to be
something that you would eat.
What I would eat. Yeah. And Primanti Brothers heard this conversation and said, let's talk.
Talk jerky.
So we will talk with Adam Gallome in an hour number three.
Love it.
We'll talk food throughout this program as we get make our way to a huge, huge sports weekend. We'll talk Duke, Carolina, obviously. You got Kansas and Villanova on Saturday. And then, everything else. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Hour after we left yesterday. It's funny. We spent part of our third hour yesterday talking to Jason Light, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the big news of March, end of March, craziest month in the history of the NFL, March of 2022. And we thought the big final kaboom.
Guess who stepped in the room?
Yes. was going to be Bruce Arians suddenly stepping away as the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, leading to Todd Bowles taking it all over. And that was the press conference on March 31st to end the biggest month, craziest month in the history of the NFL. But there was one last earth-shattering kaboom, to use the Marvin the Martian phrase. I went Looney Tunes on you. and hi, Amy Trask. So the one last piece of business before March closed down, Bobby Wagner found his new team. 5 years, $50 million, and a contract that can go up to $65 million. Ooh. And it is right here in Los Angeles, California, the home of the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams. He is coming here to play for the Rams. And that means Bobby Wagner, who's from California, right from around here, he's back in Southern California by way of Utah State and a Hall of Fame career in Seattle. He's going to go back to see the 12s. It's part of the Rams. He will see the 12s here in Los Angeles. He cannot quit the NFC West, nor that division quit him. I love this. Excited for his new chapter. This is going to be exciting for a whole bunch of reasons. And count me in. As you know, I pound the table for this guy. I love him. I love everything about him. I love how he plays. I love how he handles his business. By the way, that's not just a figurative phrase. He negotiated this contract.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did. So part of his Hall of Fame career is he's negotiated over $100 million worth of contracts for himself. For himself. And
that means he kept, what, $10 million from going to an agent?
No. It's not, it ain't a 10% business.
Nah, it's like this is Hollywood. You know, that's Hollywood.
But he saved some money. Put it in his pocket. But this guy goes sideline to sideline. This guy goes north to south. This guy is the personification of knowing only one speed. And this is a guy you want in your locker room. He is a leader of men. He is just as good as they come. And I cannot believe he is going to be the one patrolling behind Aaron Donald. I mean, just think about it. Think about it. Just the basic sense of defensive football in the front seven. You know, you hear all about 4-3, 3-4, A-gap, B-gap, all sorts of gaps, and your head spins. You know, if you're not a tape head, you're not an old 22 person, you're like, just talk to me in plain English.
Right.
Here's in plain English. The job of the defensive line is to engage the offensive line in a way in which you can stop the run on the way to the quarterback. And who's better at that than Aaron Donald? Nobody.
Nobody.
Certainly from the middle of the defensive line, from which Donald frequently, most often, starts the play. But if you can't stop the run on the way to the quarterback, but you can engage one, if not two, offensive linemen. That allows the linebackers behind you to do your work. Just ask Ray Lewis how important Tony Siragusa was.
Yeah.
Okay? Just ask him that. And Adams, remember how much space he ate up on the Ravens' defensive line as well? So think about that. Donald is going to try and open things up for Bobby Wagner, and then there's Jalen Ramsey on the back end. Look out below, folks. What a huge, huge signing.
Is that the rich getting richer type? Is that Paul?
Guess
that?
What? It's F all them picks. What do you care if you don't have all the... So the Rams are not picking in the first round. Okay, they got Allen Robinson and they got Bobby Wagner. So they got one guy to go on the other side of Cooper Kupp, who, by the way, is a Super Bowl MVP, and you're also Triple Crown winner in wide receiving this year.
Man.
And then Von Miller out, Bobby Wagner in. How you doing?
It's also F the cap, too. That was the other meme I saw going around yesterday. Well, Not only the picks, but the cap.
I don't know. You massage the numbers in a way. I mean, Les needs no dummy.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably have some good number people in the Kroenke organization.
You'd imagine.
You know, and Kevin Demoff. They know what they're doing there, to say the least. Huge signing. Love it. What a big finish to March.
Big finish to March. But, Rich, the most important question, though, is does this now shake up your rankings? I know you did the Super Bowl favorites last week with Sean William Scott.
Yes, the actor Sean William Scott put me on the spot. Tell me who my top five favorites to win the Super Bowl.
So I don't want to redo that because I don't think those have changed. But I'm going to put you on the spot again. Let's do your top five teams in the NFC right now.
Based on the Bobby Wagner
signing.
Based
on the Bobby Wagner signing.
It might have tipped the scale.
Has that changed anything at all? Top five NFC.
Because my Super Bowl, because when the actor Sean William Scott put me on the spot, I had the Bengals, right? Five.
I think you had the Bengals four.
Four, okay. Yeah, I had the Bengals four, and I had the Packers three, and I had the Rams three. The Packers five, Bengals four, Rams three. Bills two, and then the Bucks one because I said I cannot ever go against Tom Brady ever again.
Yeah, you learn your lesson.
That burned me a divisional playoff weekend, did it not?
Well,
okay.
Well,
so
Tom's
you want
fault.
My top five NFC?
Yeah,
teams.
Yeah, I want you to go NFC teams right now.
I'm just
going to
again. I'm going to go with Bucks one just because again Brady is back.
You're just
I understand.
Double down.
I'm just not doubling down. It's just like Brady is back.
Yeah.
You know Godwin's going to be healthy. Knock on wood. Tristan Wirfs won't be out
right
next time they face the Rams, who might have wind at their backs and sails and whatever. And I mean, I could put them 1-1A, but just because we need to traffic in this sort of things.
1-2-3-4-5.
Bucks 1, Rams 2.
Okay.
Then I will go Packers 3 because Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Devontae Adams is not there. I'm going to say...
Who's he throwing
to? Hold on a second. I'm going to say the Packers will get Aaron Rodgers the receiving help he so desperately now clearly requires in the draft later on. And there are some great draft choices at that position. And sure enough, Bucky's got Chris Watson of North Dakota State being chosen by the Packers in his mock draft, leaving Sky Moore for the Chiefs. Oh, boy, if they can replace Tyreek Hill with Sky Moore, who was just amazing at the combine, the Western Michigan wide receiver. So I'll put Green Bay 3. I'll put the Niners 4.
Niners?
Yes. The Niners
Who's
were...
Who's their quarterback?
Trey Lance? Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir. I believe in Trey Lance, and I believe the Niners believe in Trey Lance, and I can't wait to see what this looks like. I think the Niners are going to get better in the draft with later draft choices, as we know they don't choose in the first round, because of Trey Lance, who's going to start and improve this team, or at least give a wrinkle that causes teams to have to deal with a quarterback that can hit you. With his arm and his legs.
Okay.
And Debo's just going to get better. And I like the Niners. They were the proverbial team that you don't want to face. What, is that because of Jimmy G? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm just saying Jimmy G, you know, the NFC Championship game.
All right, now here comes five. Here comes five. I know you're waiting for me to say your team's name.
Let me get...
comfortable here. That's it.
But they're worse. Today, the Dallas Cowboys on April 1st are worse than the Dallas Cowboys as they looked on March 1st. You cannot deny that fact. They are worse. They are not as good, if you want me to even put it in a little bit less harsh terms. You're sipping your tea all you want, sir. All you want. Coach didn't show up to the owner's meeting because he had stuff to do.
He was busy.
There's some weird stuff there, as you know. Weird stuff there. Randy Gregory says, I'm coming, then bolts. Amari Cooper's gone. Michael Gallup gets all that money, and he blew his knee out. When's he coming back?
A couple weeks.
Here's weird stuff. The line needs to be redone. Lyle Collins won, you know, goes to Cincinnati. They are not as good now.
Some weird wacky
stuff.
So
here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with a guy who's got a chip on his shoulder.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go with a guy who's got his own stationery.
Okay. Well, I got my own stationery.
I got it. I'm going with the Cardinals fifth. I'm going with the Arizona Cardinals as the fifth best team. By the way, and I know what a hot take you're going with the Cardinals over the Cowboys? Yeah.
I'm glad you did that. I don't need any pressure.
I'm doing that right. You both were one and done in the playoffs. Obviously, the Cowboys came much closer to winning their game than Arizona
did.
The refs
cost us our game. Let's
God.
Stop it.
11 penalties. How many penalties do you have? 11? 14? I forget. I
think 14. Yeah, that's all bad officiating.
Okay.
Wow, this guy.
So there you go. How about that?
So.
Bucks won.
Bucks. Rams.
Oh, look at this.
Hey.
Well done, Hoskins. Bucks, Rams, Packers, Niners, sixth. Cardinals. Look who's sixth.
Wait. Are they
Cowboys.
Six? Are they six?
Are they six? You didn't say. I'm assuming.
Yes, they're six.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give them six.
You know, the Giants, Commanders. I'll give,
stop it.
The
stop it.
How dare you, Brock?
Stop it. By the way, Alex Smith's Commanders comments when
Washington
Post wrote
happy.
It up. We're in the Washington Post.
Hey, look at us.
I feel like I'm Woodward.
Look at us.
I'm Bob Woodward.
I just Rich, you did through.
Rich.
Suck it, Woodward.
Rich, you're
we're both from the Post.
You're Bernstein.
Okay.
I mean,
come on.
I'll accept that, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a little, you know,
I'll accept
yeah,
that.
He's got a point.
I'll accept that. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be on time for Pat Narduzzi right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How dare you? Pat Narduzzi. All right. He's Woodward. He definitely ain't Bernstein.
He's not.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, April, month in great month of sports. This weekend, Final Four, and then the National Championship game on Monday that kicks into Masters Week, and then opening day of baseball that we didn't think was coming for a while. And hockey playoffs, NBA playoffs, and then, of course, in the world of football, it's the NFL draft. Bucky Brooks of NFL Media Group and NFL Network are going to join us later in the program, but right now we turn to the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line and find the head coach of one of the top quarterbacks available in this draft, if not the top prospect at the quarterback position in this draft, in this quarterback-driven league. Pat Narduzzi of Pittsburgh Football here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good, Rich. Thanks for having me on today.
Really appreciate you joining me. How is everything, pro day, everything for you? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Everything's going great here in Pittsburgh. Got beautiful weather. It's in the 40s, it's a beautiful
Love
day
it.
In Pittsburgh.
Love
finished practice 11, have a scrimmage number 12 in spring ball, and then pro day was outstanding. Kenny Pickett, I think I heard you say he's possibly one of the best quarterbacks. He is the best quarterback. There's no question about it.
Okay, so let's just dive into this. When did you first see him, meet him, recruit him? Walk me through that process, Coach.
Oh, gosh, Rich, it was a long time ago, man.
Right.
I'm getting old. obviously out of high school, coming from Ocean Township High School in New Jersey. And, we recruited him out of obviously high school. He wasn't a transfer portal guy or a grad transfer. He's a guy that we thought had a ton of talent, was originally committed to Temple.
And yep.
We beat Temple on him, North Carolina, and the Tar Heels came in late trying to get him. When we didn't have a quarterback coach or offensive coordinator, we were able to hold on to him. And really, in his freshman year, he played the last four games of the season out of need. Our starter got hurt. He was really a scout team quarterback, and we brought him up and started getting him reps because we knew he was the future. And he ended up helping us in his only start the last game of the season against Miami, beat number two Miami at home here at Heinz Field.
Give me a good story about his demeanor in huddle, locker room, leadership. What do you got for me on that, Coach?
Rich, he's a phenomenal leader. He's been a two-time captain for us, and probably, at the quarterback position, you need a guy that's, going to lead your football team. Not only did he lead our offense, he led our football team. I mean, he was the guy. I think that the offense and the defense fed off of his leadership, but, he was just a guy that, constantly, led this football team. It wasn't so many words, and I think sometimes, he led by leadership, but he's not a rah-rah guy. He's a serious business-type leader, and just, it takes just a few words. Nobody wants to hear, a long speech out of a leader, especially a player. They certainly don't want to hear it out of a coach, but, about every halftime this year, he got even better. Like his halftime deal was, after I got done talking, was, hey, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get it done, guys, let's get it done. And our team fed off of him.
So you would speak, and then he would speak at halftime?
Yeah, at halftime. I mean, just right before we'd bring him up and break him down before we'd leave for
right.
the third quarter. I always just kind of got him all locked in. But then Kenny was going to get the last word in, which was awesome.
Yeah, so not like some Gene Hackman Hoosier speech, just a quick word before you go back on the field, is what you're saying.
No doubt about it.
Okay. And so let's get into everything, the main topic of discussion with him, which I'm sure for a defensive coach like you, a hard-nosed, long-time coach like you, the words hand size might just make your eyes roll. But that is the conversation. I'm sorry, I'm just walking through the front door here, but also understand how silly it might sound. But in the NFL, you parse every single inch or every eighth of an inch, like, his hand size growing between the combine and his pro day. So
right.
what can you tell me about that storyline here?
I think it is something everybody's looking at, talking about as far as the media goes. But Rich, there's not one NFL head coach, which we had a few of them at our pro day, not one scout, assistant coach, quarterback coach has mentioned one word about it. So I think it's all all hot topic, I guess. But, I've never, ever, in 5 years coaching him, ever go, God, you got small hands, man. You got to be able to hold on to the ball. It was never a topic. And it didn't become a topic because it was never an issue on game day. I mean, if he was a guy that fumbled the ball a lot, then you might go, hey, let me measure your hands. But I've never noticed that. It comes down to, I think he's got a normal size hand, but his thumb doesn't always reach. Like, it doesn't stretch out, which I've never noticed. Again, 5 years with him, recruiting him, it was never something like, hey, there's something wrong. Maybe we need to, get surgery on his thumb or something. I mean, it's the guy's a phenomenal quarterback and he's got ball skills and, again, just, knows how to throw the football.
Well, I guess it's
small hand or large hand. What does it matter?
Yeah,
just get the ball to the receiver.
Yeah, that's right. I don't mean to talk over you, but I guess the idea, though, is everything gets parsed out in the NFL. and that you take a look at the history of the first round and quarterbacks at the position. Michael Vick was the last first round draft choice who had a hand the same size as Kenny Pickett. And so it's been a long time, because teams just think about that and just think about how that might affect, certainly if you're in cold weather. But as you just mentioned, it's a 40-degree day on April 1st in Pittsburgh. So he's done this before. You've never at any point in time saw something on the field. And again, you're a defensive-minded coach, so you know what you can attack of an opponent's weakness, if that is such a thing.
Right.
You never once saw a moment where...
Never. There's not one time. And again, I'm not just talking game days, you know, where you, everybody sees it. I'm talking practice. And, you know how many balls he's thrown in practice and how many practices he had through his five-year career at Pitt. I mean, never once from his early days on scout team, never once did you go, why does he fumble the ball so much? He doesn't fumble the ball. He doesn't put the ball on the ground, and he knows the ball is the program and the team. And again, that's not an issue. It's not an issue at all.
Pat Narduzzi, head football coach, University of Pittsburgh, here on the Rich Eisen Show. So who is the one who taught him the fake slide and keep running? Mm-hmm. Who's the one who taught him that one?
You know what? It's funny. You can go check my Twitter probably about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks after that ACC championship game where we beat Wake Forest. And Kenny had the famous fake slide that now the NCAA has made a rule that you can't do it, which I don't think you'll ever see it again. Funny that they'd even do it. But obviously it was not taught. I wish we as coaches were that smart to teach it and practice it and drill it. And I wish I could show you, a drill tape and individual period where our quarterbacks were practicing that. I think if he practiced it, he probably would have fell over like most guys would have. But I think it was an instinctual thing. I shouldn't say I think it is. I know it was just his instincts. And so I had one of our GAs go back and look at all our quarterback slides that we defended. And again, as you mentioned, Rich, I'm a defensive guy.
Yes.
And we're pretty aggressive. And we're quarterbacks can slide, but we're going to, they go down, we're going to go over top of them. We're not going to go, oh, I think he's going to slide. It looks like he's going to slide, and I'm going to stop 5 yards before I get to him. So I think as he started running, he saw the defenders, two or three of them just kind of almost stop 5 yards away, he kind of said, I'm going to slide and be safe here. And then he said, wait, they aren't coming after me, and I'm going to take off and go. And that's what he did. And to me, it's great instincts by a quarterback.
That's incredible presence of mind. What do you say to him when he comes back to the sideline? What is happening?
Nice play, Kenny. Congratulations. I mean,
right?
It's not like he went down too low. I mean, it was just a heck of a play. I mean, you just talk about it, that's what you want. I mean, you don't want to have to teach someone to do something like that. That's what he's got. We talked about his leadership, and everybody sees how he throws the ball and how accurate he is. I mean, he's going to put the ball like you have to in the NFL, right where it needs to be, on the outside number or the inside number. But, you want a guy that's got instincts, and that just kind of shows you kind of the moxie he's got.
Well, I got to tell you, doing the combine on NFL Network, sitting in the booth, watching him get ready for his 40-yard dash, I was hoping like right around the 20 or 25, he would fake slide and keep running, like show it one more time in the 40. That would have been just next level.
Yeah, his agent would have been real happy about that, for sure. But he's got instincts. He's a really smart kid. He studies the game, and he's a lot smarter than that. That's for sure.
Pat Narduzzi here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple more minutes left with the Pittsburgh Panthers head coach. So the conversation about where Pickett may go. The Steelers sitting there at 20th overall, and the number of times I've heard also, I share a building, and I know, in many years covering Steelers Thursday night football games for NFL Network, we would set up shop in the Pittsburgh Panthers locker room. That's where we would be as a group. So you're right there. The question is how real is that, though, that the Steelers are right there, and so normally they're going to see him and they're going to know him. James Conner obviously is another example of how the pipeline just stays put right there. How much contact do you have with the Steelers because there's close proximity there, Coach?
We have a lot. We have – it's a big building, and, they've got half of the building. We've got half of the building, so we actually don't share, like, locker rooms here in the building, just like we don't share locker rooms at Heinz Field. There's a ton of contact. I mean, Tomlin will come strolling over to my office. We see each other on the field when we're both practicing at the same time, or or just in the weight room. I mean, he'll pop in. He's just a, you know, as you know, Mike Tomlin is one of the best people persons around. He's going to talk to everybody, and he'll be out at our practices. I mean, my very first spring here back in 2015, we're practicing. All of a sudden, I see him standing, hanging out with our players on the sideline. So he's around quite a bit, and he obviously got a very busy job. But he's a football guy and loves watching our guys. So he knows our guys better than anybody. Kevin Colbert knows our guys better than everybody. They can look out the window or out our patio here and watch practice.
So that they're one of the 32 teams, or the only one of 32 teams, that doesn't have to ask you about a prospect coming from your program and how they practice. They literally have seen it, is what you're saying.
They have seen it. There's times while we're practicing or they're doing their walkthroughs that Coach Tom will be by watching our guys and I always say evaluating what we're doing and how we're doing it, and it's always good to have another incredible head coach peeking at your practices and giving you tips, and us getting tips from the Steelers in their practice.
Well, sure. All right. Well, Coach, I truly do appreciate the time, and I am mandated to say, you know, the photographs that we've popped up of you on television over the last several minutes, you look good in yellow and blue. I'll be very honest with you, you know. You look good. I didn't use maize, but the color scheme is really good compared to the color you previously wore before you went to Pittsburgh.
No doubt about it. And I'm glad you didn't use that word maize, because I was green for a while over there in the state of Michigan.
I know.
You're a Michigan grad, so we don't like that maize color over here in Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, it's maize-ish what you're wearing. I mean, you do have that. I mean, the tie that you wear on in your headshot, it does look a little close to that. So, you know, but I'm sure you enjoyed your time there. For darn sure, up in East Lansing.
We had a good time in the state of Michigan, that's for sure.
Did you ever hang with Izzo at any point in time? A Narduzzi and Izzo summit?
Oh, yeah. Two Italians, I mean, lived probably half a mile away in the same subdivision. So Coach Izzo is the best.
He is. He's one of my favorite people. Hey, Coach, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciated. Good luck. Oh, before I let you go, pound the table. Who else from your – I know I just spent time on your quarterback. Anybody else you want to mention here before the draft that comes up in about 27 days here?
We've got a few guys, Rich. We've got a few guys. You know, I think we had the only snapper at the combine, Cal Ademidis, is a guy. And then Damari Mathis, one of our corners, went to the combine, ran a 4.39, and again, I think he broad jumped 11 foot and had a 43.5-inch vertical. So one of the best athletes and corners that I've ever coached. And I had two first-rounders at Michigan State with Darquez Denard and Trey Waynes. This guy's one of those guys. He's a competitor. He knows how to press, and we press all the time. So those are the top three guys that were at the combine that you may have seen there, and obviously in the Senior Bowl as well.
What's your long snapper's hand size, Coach? Do you know that?
You know what? He's got it's a 4.5-inch, but he snaps that ball back there.
That's odd.
And he gets it there.
Coach, thanks for the time. Really do appreciate it. Good luck.
You got it, Rich.
Thanks for the
call. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Anytime. Thank you. That's Pat Narduzzi, everybody. Head coach of Pittsburgh football right here. I knew it. Old school defensive minded coach. Hand size my ass is really what he really wants to say. Did you see the kid play? Didn't he wind up on the Heisman Trophy podium? Yeah, he did. Right? What?
Nothing.
What apparently is like his hand size is good enough for the football. It's just his thumb it doesn't come out.
I text Brockman during the interview, and I was watching Chris Sims last week, and it was the first time I'd heard it. He said that his thumb, for whatever reason, won't fully extend
it
out.
It doesn't, yeah.
And
I know. So, okay.
I mean, Joe Burrow's did fine.
I mean,
like the same size. Like they're fine.
Well, Joe Burrow has a bigger hand. What is it, nine?
Joe Burrow's a nine.
Right. And Jared Goff has 9-inch hands.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, these guys
that was the conversation about Joe Burrow coming out of the combine, was he's got nine-inch hands.
Nine-inch hands, not big enough.
Great band. Great band. Great, you know.
I got Jay Felly.
Yeah, you got that one.
Yeah,
that snuck up on you, huh, Jay?
Yeah, they got me.
I just appreciate you paying attention, because a guy who normally sits in the chair is just staring into space.
I think Pitt should be happy, though. Pitt should be happy with Narduzzi. They got themselves a good one now.
Yes, they did.
Man. And
they
my
did.
Old roommate from college covers Pitt, and just the stuff that I read every day that Paul Zeitz writes about him, I'm happy for them.
He just coached the wrong program up there
in Michigan.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, the latest example of RES Consulting sticking the landing and even and being right.
Just doing what we do.
And on top of it, even though opening day in baseball is not for another 6 days, baseball season has officially gotten underway. And I'll explain what I mean by all that when we come back here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Buckle up, TJ, is all I got to tell you.
I knew that this was...
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Back here on the terrestrial radio feed of the Rich Eisen Show. We're always hanging out here on Peacock and Sirius XM Channel 85 as well. Some baseball news.
Baseball.
Very, very good to me. Baseball. The man stands alone at the plate. Okay. So, baseball's opening day is April 7th.
Correct.
Yes. Coming up next week, everybody. Next Thursday, everybody. But the season has already opened.
Oh.
I don't know if you're aware. And I don't mean preseason baseball.
Oh, I missed it.
No. Opening of baseball season has begun. Because it can't start without Jacob DeGrom having some form of arm trouble.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Right shoulder tightness, says Buck Showalter, new skipper of the New York Metropolitans. Jacob DeGrom, come on.
It's tight. That don't mean nothing.
It's tight. Don't mean nothing, says the guy who watched DeGrom have something happen that seemed like it didn't mean anything because the guy was literally, I mean, this is, when we spoke to Randy Johnson the other day and we said, how many strikeouts could you get now in a season? When all of these kids come up from the minors and just they're there because they got swing, they got exit velocity in that bat. That's why they're there. Not because they see the ball and hit it where it's pitched and they play, you know, multiple tools of baseball within them. No, they just swing hard and you know, certainly if they're lefties, right? Certainly if they're lefties, they're gonna be in there against DeGrom, right?
Hacking.
They're trying to hack it over that shift. We asked Randy Johnson, how many strikeouts could you have in a season? Well, a couple times I got close to 400, so I think probably 400. DeGrom, he was, what, 15 strikeout games, 13 strikeout games, all that last year. Now he's got right shoulder tightness. Good luck to you, sir, in the Mets. Well, at least they got Scherzer there too, right?
I mean, that's...
Hopefully this is nothing.
Yeah, I mean...
It's just, you know...
It's a precautionary...
I've mentioned this to you. If I ever owned a racehorse, if I got the Rome situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I could own a racehorse, right? If I ever had that, I would name the horse Abundance of Caution. That would be the name of my racehorse. Abundance of Caution. Here comes Abundance of Caution around the turn. You know, down the stretch they come. It's Abundance of Caution. That would be the name of my racehorse. And that racehorse seems to be run at the Flushing Meadows track every year when it comes to DeGrom, it seems like.
That's Belmont.
That's right.
Epic.
Well, I mean, it's down the road, right?
It's close by.
Close by. Abundance of Caution wins the Belmont every year. Sorry, brother.
Nothing to be sorry about yet. I mean,
okay, good.
You know,
I hope I'm wrong. I love the guy. It's so much fun to watch him pitch.
Yeah, so
Coop and I had him in our fantasy team last year.
He's getting an MRI today.
We've already talked about we got to get him back. Now we're not going to that. He's getting an MRI.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the, this, I'm sorry, I wish this was an April Fool's joke. I wish this was like Sid Finch right now, you know, and
well, nothing could be that great.
It is not. You know, like this is the day of Sid Finch, of the Mets pitcher. This is the day. Yeah. This is it.
So let me ask you something. So are you saying this, and this is legitimate, are you saying
Mets
that
pitcher.
I should be worried about this right now? Or?
Yes, you should, of course. Like if this was Garrett Cole, you wouldn't be bringing this up to me.
No, because I wouldn't, because I don't know what that means. I don't know what a stiff, like, I have to wait until the MRI's done.
The thing is,
not good, Bob. Not great.
It didn't happen during a workout. He was just playing catch. Oh, my arm is stiff. I need to get an MRI. That's bad news.
Oh, my gosh almighty.
That's bad news.
Other baseball news with Kenley Jansen, now a member of the Braves, right?
Right.
So.
When did that happen?
That happened a couple weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. You had back surgery when you were out.
You were out of it.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So that roller coaster ride, that Six Flags ride is coming to Atlanta.
Well, I'm all right with that.
Yeah, well, a new roller coaster ride is coming to Los Angeles.
Yes. Craig Kimbrell was just acquired for A.J. Pollock, who I guess, because they have too many, they got too many $300 million stars. They had to get rid of A.J. Pollock because he couldn't crack the lineup.
Right.
Breaking news to the Dodger fan over
Craig
here.
Craig Kimbrell, everybody.
Right? I had no clue.
Craig Kimbrell's coming to Chavez Ravine.
To put that arm up in the air.
That's a one for one. That was just a straight up swap.
How about that? Like a fantasy.
Is this Sid Brockman? Is this the Kimbrell?
Well, he does. It's like the, what is it? Is it the crab?
Oh,
like the
my
gobbler,
whatever.
Thing, or lobster, whatever it's called.
Whatever.
Hey, man, now I love it.
You learn to love it.
You learn to love it, man. He was good for Boston for a minute.
Well, he won World Series, right?
Yeah.
With them. Until he started tipping his pitches, and then he had to get out of there, right?
Yeah, Sale closed out the game winner.
I remember that.
Against the Dodgers. So. No big deal.
What? When did that happen? Nice. But the biggest baseball news of all.
Rich, get to the top story.
Biggest baseball news of all. You know what? As you know, in this crazy-ass sports talk world in which we live, and which we have now been trafficking for 7-plus years, our 8th anniversary is coming up this fall.
We're deep inside. Rich.
Yes.
We're deep.
And, when a host always talks about something over and over and over again, saying this should happen, this needs to happen, and then it does, it's a great day. How many times did I tell every last one of you out there in the Rich Eisen Show radio and television audience that Major League Baseball has a huge problem on their hands because they're the only sport in which they're officiating, refereeing, umpiring is not required to talk to the crowd or the television audience to explain whatever ruling they have decided in instant replay. They basically look like cavemen out there grunting their answers when they come out of their instant replay pointing, "Ugh, man out, man safe." You all see it at home, and you're like, that guy's absolutely safe, but you can't really tell. So I guess you have to go with the call on the field. He's out, but it looks to me like he's safe. And then they come out after their headsets, talking to somebody somewhere else, and then they just turn around, and some like 67-year-old guy invariably just pointing to the base and going, safe or out. You're like, that guy looked like he was out. But the ruling on the field was safe, and you just go out, and it's just like, well, why? What happened? Or safe? You have no idea if it was either stands is called in football. They tell you a ruling was stands is called, which is verbiage to shrug emoji. We don't know if it's the ruling is upheld. That means we saw what we called. If it stands is called, it's like, we can't tell. At least we in the football audience understand you couldn't tell. That's why you came up with this rule. And baseball has not required any of their umpires to explain at home to people sitting at home or anybody in the stands what the hell just happened. And I said, this has got to change. Simple. Just have a microphone right by a spot in between home plate and an on-deck circle where the umpire knows to stand, just like a head referee in the NFL knows which side of the stadium to face, because that's where the broadcast partner is intending to shoot you from. You turn on the microphone that's right there on your side, and off you go. It's now connected to the stadium and the broadcast. You explain the ruling. We at home are at least knowledgeable. We might disagree with the call, but we know what you're thinking. And I told baseball, how many times did we say this? RAS Consulting saying, you need to fix this. Because it's an exact way to tell your fans, screw you. We don't care whether you know or not. And I pay an insane amount of money for a ticket, and I'm in the stadium, and I'm like, what just happened? I have no idea. Well, because the umpires don't take the time to actually do it, and baseball doesn't care to force them to do it. Well, guess what? That's about to change. Because baseball says this season, Major League umpires will conduct in-park announcements during the replay review process. We're pleased to launch this enhancement to the ballpark and broadcast experiences. Training has been held in Arizona and Florida this spring. And I know this isn't an April Fool's joke because it's from MLB Communications. It's got a blue check mark next to it. And they used a photograph that, thank God, is not going to be never going to see it anymore, which is an umpire giving a safe sign to no one in particular. They just, you figure it out. We just said safe. Man out, fire. It's over. Thank goodness it's over. And my only regret, single regret, is that this happens now. Denying us yet another avenue.
Say it.
For Joe West to communicate to the fans, he doesn't care what you think. Could you imagine Joe West forced to turn the mic on? He's safe. You figure it out. Just turn around.
Hey, Rich, bigger conspiracy theory that you're willing to accept, okay? Tom Brady had a hand in forcing Bruce Arians out, or Major League Baseball waited until Joe West retired before putting the mics on.
Or they told him that we're going to put the mics on, and he's like, I'm out of here. Like, you want me to actually communicate to fans and show that I want to make their experience better? Forget that. Screw it. I'm out of here.
I'm out. No more.
I mean, I would have just loved it. Joe West, where's the camera? Like, you turn the microphone. Where am I looking? Where am I looking? Here? Out. You figure it out. Go back to first and just go one of these. Thank you, baseball. And RAS Consulting nails it again. When you saw it today on Twitter, you've texted the group.
Immediately.
RAS Consulting. Folks, I'm telling you, I should be on multiple competition committees. Multiple. Multiple sports. I'm like the Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders of competition committee members. Multi-sport star at this position. Honestly. I know what I'm talking about. Certainly when it comes to fan experience. Well done, baseball. Well done. And it's going to make everybody that much more knowledgeable and feel like you care to let us know about this stuff. Outstanding. Hour number two coming up here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare go anywhere. Okay.
Also, I knew it wasn't an April Fool's joke, Rich, because Major League Baseball doesn't have a sense of humor. So it had to have been real.
Did you see the big April Fool's jokes today?
I saw a few of them. They were
on
all right.
Twitter.
Generally, I'm not really into this day because I'm not a child, but it was, you know.
TJ had the biggest one of last year saying Russell Wilson's going to the Bears, which led to Jeff Garland calling up and cursing you out.
Yeah. I'm like Brockman. I guess actually, I am a child, so I do enjoy these
things. I think he threatened retribution in your direction.
He threatened bodily harm.
He was very violent.
He was, if Jeff Garland was here, I think he would have charged the stage in an effort to slap me.
That's right.
But he wasn't, so it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
You know, and I don't recommend that.
But then he came here in person and you guys hugged it out.
Yeah,
it
was kumbaya.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he realized it was funny. It was funny.
Julian Edelman.
Was a nice one.
Tweeted out from his Twitter account. Yeah. On to the next chapter with the pirate ship logo or emoji. And the NFL Network, NFL Media Group meme where they announced the a free agency signing, breaking Buccaneers signing Julian Edelman. He nailed it down, and he's got a photograph of himself in
Patriots
uniform. I'm going to throw this man under the bus because I love him. I love him. And I know he might not be happy with me, but I'm going to do it anyway.
It's a tribe-on-tribe crime.
Text exchange. Me, Irv, Mariucci, Kurt Warner. Which one of them bid on this saying, you got to be kidding me, the Bucs are getting Julian Edelman? Which one of the three?
Mooch.
You both say Mooch?
I know it wasn't Irv.
What do you say?
I'm going to go with Irv.
It was Kurt.
It was Kurt.
No way!
It was Kurt. I can tell by the look on your face that it was Kurt.
He's on vacation in overseas. And I think he was just going around.
Just doing the quick scroll?
Because I said to him, I just texted him back.
Doing the quick scroll.
I texted him back.
No.
Look at the calendar, Kurt. And he goes, what'd I miss? I'm in, and he's explained where he is. He's in a foreign country.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what day is it even there? And he wrote, not sure. And I'm like, it's
not
April
sure.
1st.
And
that's why I was on vacation.
And Edelman put on the graphic April Fool's at the bottom.
Where? Yeah. Oh, there is. Yeah. Bottom. Oh, he didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yep. He wrote back,
that.
Ha ha, got me. Sweetheart, Kurt Warner. Well
funny.
Done, Julian. You got Kurt Warner
nice.
In the corner of the globe where he is.
Oh, man.